Hello, thank you for joining us for the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzama Zos. Hello. Here we want to learn together with you from Dr. Lightman how we can build the society we're living in a new way so we'll all feel like one family, to understand what one family is and transform it from a slogan and a beautiful saying to something that we can feel, touch, grasp. We're learning from Dr. Lightman and researching, reviewing each time an aspect of our ancient Jewish culture, and we want to open something new to understand what it means to be one family. Today we want to take you on a journey in the history of our people, and a very special journey. Nitza introduced the journey. Today we chose to go out on a journey throughout Jewish history through the eyes of revolts. The revolts that we've seen throughout history, and to understand what happened to the Jewish people, what process we went through. We see that the first revolt, actually the biggest one, was the Hashmonaim. It was the first time that a people in the history of humanity, that a people went out to some uprising over a very high ideal, spiritual. They understood that grasping this faith, this spirituality, is something very significant that's worth fighting for and dying over. So we want to, in the first phase, we want to gradually go through each of these phases. But the first question is, where does the urge come from to revolt? This place where we're suddenly standing on our opinion and fighting over something that's so significant and great. First of all, we see that it mainly characterizes humans, because animals, let's say two bears get together, or lions, and they have some struggle. They don't harm one another. They don't really kill or destroy each other. They just have a power struggle to see who's stronger. After they have the struggle, they wrestle. Then the stronger one wins and the second one gives in. Either he has to leave that place or he stays, and he's under the authority of the first one who's stronger. So there's no revolt, but a hierarchy that they build, who's more, who's more less, who's less. The revolt is, it specifically belongs to man, and we don't really see in ancient times that there were revolts. There was Spartak in the ancient world. But we also don't understand exactly what, because there were very many societies where there was slavery, and the slaves never rose up to revolt, because it was precisely good for a person. It was worth it, based on the opportunities they had in those days. It was worth it for them to be slave. They had food, drink, they could sleep, they looked after his health. They looked after everything just for the sake of his work. He was really organized. He didn't have to worry about too much. I think today, if we came with the same conditions to some African, and they'd say to them today, you're working in some work that we're giving you this many hours and you're not going anywhere, but we will give you clothes and food and everything, they would happily agree. The problem in the Jewish people is its spirit, because it disconnected from the Babylonians, where it wasn't bad there, God forbid. Babylon, they lived well. They had a ton of water from two wells. They had fish, they had bread, they had garlic, onion. Food for that time was really good. Not just, it's not for nothing that all of humanity came out of there. And people didn't disconnect because of that, but because they didn't agree with the environment, with that same society, the laws, that each one started hating the other, that each one started being bigger, like the lions that are checking who's more and who's less. They stopped understanding one another. They stopped taking one another into consideration. And therefore, Abraham, who brought people together, and those are thousands of people that joined him, up to 5,000, Rambam said. So what's happening there? He taught them how to connect. That's actually the foundation of the people. The people were always struggling to be more and more connected over their ego. That was each time burning and growing, because we're all developing. All the development of humanity is through the development of the ego, which is at the foundation of our development. So there were all kinds of better eras, less better. And first of all, there was the ego separating us, let's say. And that was a constant struggle with ourselves. The first struggle. There were struggles with the neighbors when they went into Canaan, when they wanted to separate themselves from those people and those people. There were always people coming to us, neighbors, and saying, let's start marrying into one another, and like with all the other nations, where are they today? We'll be closer, we'll be stronger. Of course, we couldn't, because the difference in spirit is very substantial. There's no way that something good can come out of it, because a person cannot agree. The person in us cannot agree to be with someone who's not in the same spirit as us. In the nation of Israel, it's felt very strongly. So there were wars where we always needed to separate ourselves from the other tribes, other nations, whoever lived at that time. We used to go through all of Canaan, through Egypt, and also in Egypt. We immediately asked to be in Goshen, the land of Oshin, to be isolated from the Egyptians. We're willing to work. We're willing to do everything except we're on our own. We have our own spirit, culture, education, our own only, and that we would maintain at all times. It was really standing out, like all the Yiddish and Idino, all those languages. We wanted to have a special language, not Hebrew, other languages, but not the language of where we are at the time. We would always fight for that. My mother and father in Russia, they used to learn in Yiddish in school, history, geography, their whole matriculation. My mother learned everything in a few months to get into university, to learn medicine, my father as well. They learned everything. Their Yiddish was, I remember Rabash, who used to speak to them, he would enjoy listening to their literature, high-level Yiddish. The language is everything. So it's very characteristic of us to be like that. Also, the ghetto, all those things, it's really an invention, a special invention, to be in specific places, Jewish people with the culture, education, all those things. Language. And then afterward in Egypt, we were also different. And we would try to maintain as much as possible all kinds of traditions. And actually, the struggle with the Egyptians and with Pharaoh was really to see how much we're slaves. We'll work, no problem, but not... But we wouldn't... How can I put it? But not to disappear inside the Egyptians. That's what's happening in America right now in the whole world. The problem is that the Jewish people are disappearing. It's like, take my body, but don't take my spirit, don't take my soul. I want to remain who I am. I don't care if I'm high up or low in my standard of living. That's what I want. And it's mainly what I want to pass on to my children. I don't care about success in their life, even though Jewish people really are concerned about their kids. But first and foremost, they need to remain Jewish and connected to their environment. That's the problem. So when we're speaking about exiting Egypt, they used to scream in the desert, where's this food, the meat and the cooking and the fish, everything that we had in Egypt? But what? We are free people. Our spirit, we can do everything according to who we are. The freedom didn't really have to do with which government I'm under, but rather to what extent I can carry out those same conditions that belong to Judaism, meaning to be connected and to fight each time for additional connection over the escalating ego, the politics and economics and taxation and all those things. There were periods when we really had to be under other peoples, but they didn't demand our spirits. So the struggle with the Greeks during the Maccabee times, that was truly a war. It was the strongest war over spirit. In this war, it was also against the foreign government and also against the Jews that became Greeks. It also happened before. Also in the First Temple, there were many problems, and there were struggles between the colonels and the... But it still wasn't to such an extent that it stood out so much, even though it was also about spirit. They also wanted to bring a foreign culture. And if it wasn't just a foreign culture, then foreign values, money, power, was even more than spirit. Each time there was a struggle, what's going to determine? The spirit or all kinds of other values? And spirit meaning to be equal as one man with one heart, connected, and that's the foundation for us. Altogether, the struggle, the most fundamental struggle, is that the society will be equal, just, true, of equal people, free people, that are under the laws. There's no big people and little people. It's also felt today to a certain extent in our society. We have no idea that it's big and strong and that I'm small and weak and that he can do what he wants with me. It's a society where there were never slaves like there were in other nations. It's not for nothing that it says whoever buys a slave buys a master. All our foundations that came from Abraham always defined the character of the society. So revolt, there wasn't any room for that. For all kinds of corporal reasons, but rather only because of spiritual reasons. So the Hashmonai revolt was very special because it was really about spirit, and all of the wars at their foundation were about spirit. And all the types of revolt that were afterwards, they were all the same style. We always fought for the principles of the people. A very interesting element that we can see is that one of the things that first of all started in the people was the division inside. I'm going a few stages ahead. After the Hashmonaim revolt, the next one was the big revolt, it was called. It was between 64 and 67. What characterized that period was separation and division. There's all different forms of different approaches. There's no single body that's uniting everyone in this division. And this lack of connection makes the people weak and makes it easy for the external enemies that were governing. At that time, it was the Roman government, the Roman Empire. They start pressuring the people very strongly. What's the connection between this weakness and division inside the people and the pressure that they start to activate from outside, the leaders? It depends on that, because if we're special on the inside, then we actually don't invite the foreign external forces to us. This is what we're learning from the general system of nature, where everything is connected to everything. If we're maintaining our spirit inside, we see it throughout history, we can see throughout the periods, that if we're strong inside, we're also strong in our power to reject all the foreign forces from us, because then they don't come. The foreign forces only come when we get weak in the connection between us, in our inner connection, and they come as a result. How do they know to come? You can see it in birds, fish that gather in big groups, in deer, all kinds of animals that they're there in thousands, and wolves can go around them, and lions, it doesn't matter what, they won't touch them. They're looking where and when there will be a weakness in the connection between them, between this like herd, this connected herd. And if there isn't, if there's no connection between us, if there's no weakness, if there is, then they immediately attack and find their own. But if everyone's together, fish, birds, other animals, there's no chance that someone will harm them or even come close to them. The only problem is that there's always some little spot because they have to live and they have to live, so that's how it happens. That's what I want to say. The same thing in human society, especially in our nation, because all of our existence is only in spirit, that if we are maintaining the connection between us to be as one man with one heart, all of Israel are friends, love thy neighbor as thyself, in mutual responsibility. If we maintain that, there's no chance that someone will even come close to us. Why in Germany did it happen especially? Because the Jews were yearning to get into the German society in all kinds of manners. They would marry with Germans. They would learn all these subjects to be known and rich and accepted in German society. There was a lot of conversions. And as a result, the anti-Semitism came. That's the natural reaction to our assimilation. And from here we can see what our current state in America and all the other countries is based on. It's really threatening us. When I go back to this big revolt, there was faith in the people that they'll go out to the revolt and God would help them because God or this upper force, and it's something that they remember. They had this memory from the Hashmonaim revolt, and there the special thing was that there was a victory of a minority over a majority. That's what they grasped. Even up to today, in our awareness, in our memory, this success of the minority over majority was a miracle. Was it a miracle? How is it possible that a small group overcomes a big group? What is that? We can't get some example from there for today, or all these examples from the Hashmonaim up to Bar Kochva. None are similar to the other because it's various degrees of connection and demand for connection. So I don't think that you can compare one with the other. The Hashmonaim, it was really an awakening in the people, and in a small group they were very connected, and they succeeded for a while to return that spirit, and they built the temple. That's signs that they connected, that they reached success. But in the other forms, no. It was clear that we are going down in the connection between us, that the ego is overcoming us and separating, dividing us, and that we won't survive. There was still a possibility not to agree with all these things, but it was like a dying society. So in a small connected society, what special power is there that allows it to overcome what we see today? The collective intelligence, people that join together, they have an additional power, not just the connection between everyone, which is times 100 or times 1,000, but rather this connection gives them an additional strength because this connection is in accordance with the integral general nature. So they get from nature around them an additional force from a higher degree, a more advanced degree of connection. So those people that truly connect as equally as possible, as dedicated as possible to one another, where each one is willing to give himself. This is the what our VUT is about, that I'm willing to give myself to everyone. I want to die for our country. Something of that nature. That in that they're really pulling additional forces from nature, from the general nature. Call it the upper force, God, it doesn't matter what. But there's an additional force that if we're connected as one, this force comes. It's very interesting what you said, because suddenly I'm trying to think what went through the Jewish people's heads. They always said, God will help us. But when they were connected, they actually obligated, then truly this upper force of nature, God, which is really like that, nature in Gematria is God, this force is in us. So what happened in the big revolt? God didn't come to help them. How's that possible? Why? In the big revolt, which was later. I understand. The second one after the Maccabim. Look, that was a descent. It was a historical descent. We need to understand there's a combination of a historical trend that we had to go through that before the exile, and the signs were the destruction of the temple, the exile, heading out to exile. All this was far before the destruction of the temple. The same thing here. We were already in a great decline. It was clear that we're not capable of being connected, that the ego is controlling us. It's not the same situation where we can return ourselves to the same situation and be as one man with one heart. And therefore, even though there were awakenings, they could have brought things back, but they didn't get a connection and unity in the people. There was already the trend of decline. It's like a person dying. There's this awakenings where he suddenly feels good for a while, and then he dies. So it's truly felt like this. When we look at it, we see gradually this decline started, and from the big revolt, and during this period, everything went through a process of destruction, violence, selling Jews to slavery. Their spiritual center blew up, the Jerusalem. Those things were also a transition inside the Jews. From the destruction of the temple onward, it went down and further declined right to the second temple. What's more important, money, respect, control, or the connection between us, inequality between everyone? That is actually the struggle, the inner struggle. And we couldn't hold on to it. After that, there was the Tfutzot merit. The Jews didn't just live in Israel, they lived in Alexandria, Egypt, Cyprus. They felt a lot of pressure from external forces, and there we can see also the division and lack of unity between them. They always wanted to go back up to Israel, to the country, but we see that everything that they tried to do, the situation got worse. Every time they went to a revolt and they thought something would happen, things kept going into decline. And from there we go to Bar Kokhba revolt. We celebrate it today, and again in our awareness, We see this as a success. But when we look through history, we see that the first years, Bar Kokhba, who was apparently a very special leader, he was very charismatic, he was special. He got a lot of support from Rabbi Akiva. So in the first years, the revolt succeeded, and then that also started to go into decline. How did it first succeed, and then it descended, deteriorated? We're in the same trend of our ego that's always burning, and it has to break right till the end. From the beginning, we had to be in exile, in four exiles, just like there were four types of revolt. And then we went out to exile, the fourth, the last one. And now we're before the fourth and last redemption. So this is how it must be. This is how it's written in our history, and this is how it's supposed to be from the beginning, to go through it and implement it on ourselves. So to the extent that we attempted in those situations to get stronger and to save ourselves, it was almost impossible. It was possible. I'll say what I think and understand that if Bar Kokhba would have connected with Rabbi Akiva, and we could have reached a situation that that same great ego that had to be revealed and break out in the people of Israel, the last one when we went out to exile, the final one with him, if we could have corrected it at its root, then of course we would have saved the entire 2,000 years of exile. But we see that it's work that we're not capable of doing. It's not the same conditions. But theoretically, from the beginning, it's possible to think that it was possible, but we can see to what extent Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest spiritual leaders of the people, he thought it might be possible. And he believed in it up to the last moment. The last 3 years that Bar Kokhba was in power, it was actually the last 3 years of independence of the Jewish people in its land. And that's it. And then what is the significance of this, the independence of the Jewish people? Only an ability, first of all, independence, we're talking about spiritual independence, obviously. First of all, the ability to maintain the laws of our society, that we can educate ourselves, then our children, our offspring, that, and according to our history, that we can reach love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the whole Torah. That's the whole correction that we need to make and to convey this correction to the whole world. Just like it says, tell the whole Torah on one leg. It's the same thing. Two words and that's it. But we must stand on them. That's why all the education and years of education was just to teach a person to be somehow prepared for it. There were some Jewish people that tried to get away from the laws, and they were taken out to be killed. There were some decrees that they went against. What does it mean, Harugei Malchut? The people that were executed. I can't say. They talk about it a lot in Kabbalah, in the Torah, that it's against the peels, the klipot, the cruel desires inside people that each one expresses some special force, some great force of the correction of those same bad forces. Bad forces, like you said before, it's important a person control money, power. Yes, especially. So against that, it's like they were fighting especially against those 10 klipot, against those basic bad desires that are inside the nation of Israel. Therefore, each of them was apparently would present some war against those same 10 bad attributes, especially, that wouldn't allow us to connect. So therefore, in that, in their going through such great suffering and death, such harsh deaths, in that we need to truly see some type of correction of the people, of the nation, to what extent it is capable of sacrificing in order to remain with those same principles of connection. We're continuing on this historic journey, and we see from that same moment after the Bar Kokhba revolt, the Jews go out to an extensive era of exile, and there there's new behavior. The people understand that a revolt ends in destruction, because they're already under a foreign power completely. They're not in their place. They're not in the land of Israel. There's a few conditions that truly they are all bringing us to this new behavior. And then truly this people naturally learns to put its head down, to be more satisfied, not to make any great revolutions. And this is how we went through all these years until we reached the Holocaust. We see one of the most interesting things, how an entire people, this I even remember as a child in school, I kept asking, how is it possible that no one resisted? How is it possible that the Jewish people, no one stood there for this great massacre that everyone went into like sheep? It's not that they lived so badly all the time. There were times when they lived really well. But when the Nazism came up in the power, you mean lately? They didn't understand, they didn't believe what was happening. There's letters and stuff. People would go into those camps and think that it's work camps. They thought, we'll work here, we'll have everything that we need. We'll have everything the Jews have and we'll work. There were lots of people like that in Germany, because Germans would... They had workers in all kinds of countries that they had conquered, women, men, and they used to use this power. And then they thought that it was really something like that. And it's because they didn't understand how, to what extent it can be. It's really a very big hidden thing, but today they're really spread out. Today we're really not connected. The assimilation was so, to such an extent, that there were no religious people almost. Everyone wanted to be lawyers, doctors, etc., etc. They were drawn to assimilation, foreign culture, everything. And that's what invited the big anti-Semitism. So you're saying when we look at it, it's like two extremes. On the one hand, they revolted and made noise. And also when they tried it to be quiet and blend in, then also there was a big destruction. It's like two extremes. If we're already talking about the Holocaust, before the Holocaust, they weren't so quiet. They used to rise up also in Russia. They supported the revolution, revolutions in all kinds of places, and they would also take places, take positions, strong, important positions in managing these countries. They weren't... I know this type of life, and in America, and it's the same thing. Russia, a Jewish person is high education, organized family. They're grounded. That's how what everyone thinks, and everyone knows and understands that that's how it is. Because the attitude to life is different, but the connection between them, no. The connection in exile is only from external pressure. If the external pressure leaves us, we disperse all over the place. Therefore, there's two forces here. Either we're uniting, and then external forces leave us because there's no reason to pressurize. When we disperse, then the external forces come and are come again to connect us together. Now we're reaching the last 100 years. The people of Israel go up to Israel. They founded the country, that same Zionistic dream after so many years of yearning, and they tried to found this wonderful society that they dreamed of. Today we have a system of riots, and they've also taken on all kinds of faces throughout these years. At the beginning, the riots were more connected to Orthodox and religious and national things, and later on they were more religious issues, and later on the riots were more about security and peace, which is the hot subject between 1975 and 1977. And today we've reached a situation of the right of the next generation, where there's consumer revolts and they want to distribution, etc. It's more economic. In that, we're similar to all other nations. In that, there's nothing special. We completely stopped thinking about the special spirit. Equality is not equality. We're not talking about the equality. We're talking about equality in the people, one spirit, the fact that we're all will be equal, we'll all be close to one another. We're not talking about love connections and participation, mutual responsibility. There's none of that there. We're on capitalistic trends and competition and everything. We see that the disregard, robbings, can only be characterized in our country just as in any other country. Of course, there's not any mention of those ideals that we had once upon a day at the foundation of the nation. That's why we can say there is no nation. We're a collection of people. We're here because of external pressures, and we have nowhere to escape to. And even though people don't think like that, there's people that want to be here and everything. We're an ingathering of the exiles, but it's only possible in the connection between us. Here, we have the right to exist in Israel only on the condition that we will be the people of Israel. And the people of Israel means we're all connected according to conditions of Matan Torah. when we received the Torah. Do you want to be as one man with one heart? All of Israel are friends. To be a narvut, mutual responsibility, if you want that, if you're capable of that, then that's the strength of connection. But do you want it? So you're saying what is trickled through the most is the spirit, this ideal. Yes. That's why we claim that the integral education has to bring back the spirit, the demand at least for it. And then we have hope to be a people, the people of Israel, and for sure to be in the land of Israel. All of our work is about the nation. The moment that there's a nation, its borders, we can be confident that it will be determined according to how much this nation, how much the nation deserves. When we look at the riots, they're not really succeeding. There were a year and a half ago, there were attempts. When you look at it, even looks, the frustration is just going up because you can see that. You can already see that we did this and it didn't work, and we tried that and it didn't work. It's like there's something that's starting to cook. It's like there's no solution, actually. So today, what does Israel need to awaken, that same force that we saw that it has throughout history, that force that it's fighting for, that they're willing to rise up, they're willing to die for? We can see even now in all the struggles that we went through in the last few years. We can already see now and in the future and in the past, it won't help us, and nothing will help us. We won't succeed at anything if we don't yearn for, if we don't want to be a people connected together according to those same principles of Abraham. That's the foundation, that's the condition. Otherwise, we don't exist. In nature, there's laws that the still, inanimate, animate, and vegetative, each detail, each one has its own niche, has its own place that it deserves. There's regularity. We have place that we deserve, but only on the condition that we be suited to that same place. If we're not suited to that same place, we've seen in the past, then that place throws us out. We're not capable of being in it. In this integral manner, inanimate and vegetative, animate and people, they're always in some kind of movement. And these movements are not because we're on 2 feet and making movements. These movements are according to the equivalence of form. It's like a magnetic or electric field. If I suit myself to the field at some point, then I move toward it. The field throws me from place to place. It transitions me from place to place. We think that we ourselves are going from one place to the other, driving to places, meeting with people. It's all the work of nature. There's a lot of research about it, that everything is known in advance. We're here in a great field in this field, we're in every point as a result of the connection between us. I'm talking about Israel specifically. Therefore, If we make an effort to be together more, we move quicker to the special place, the place that's special for us. When we disperse, we go out to the periphery, to a certain distance from it. It all depends on the extent of the connection between us. Therefore, when they scream today, the borders of Israel, we need to give them back certain lands, it's completely not relevant. It all depends only on the connection between us. The connection between us will determine what we'll have. Nothing else determines it. Because there are laws, the laws of nature, operating on us, and towards them we need to be as one people, as a group, connected together in mutual responsibility. And that's what we need to work on. Therefore, all these riots that we see, and or all the laws that they're passing in the Knesset, how much to raise this and lower this, nothing will come of it, and we can already see that nothing will come of it. And maybe it appears for some period that it, they'll think we'll get some more missiles from America and we'll be better off. We won't get anything good out of it. The good can only come from connection. The connection will save us from everything. So this wave of riots that we saw throughout Israel, it was part of a global wave of revolt, and it also awakened here. So you're actually saying that the culture, the capitalistic culture, it characterizes the whole world. Where is the Jewish people's ability to awaken the spirit and stand up to that? We lost in exile, so how can we get it back? Only through education. Only through education. What will we get out of going to a riot and screaming, let's start connecting? The one doesn't go with the other. Because for connecting, you don't need screaming. For connecting, you need understanding, feeling, preparation, education, some acts, some explanations, some PR. It has to be a great machine of the education system, and it educates all of us. Just to go out to the streets and scream like others do, it's not really going to help. If it's some parade, if it's drawing a parade for people, then it loses, then there's no point in doing it. We also see the results, that it didn't bring any those same people that made these riots. Where are they today? We don't hear a word about them. So today, what does our society need to feel better? What does it need to get angry about? It doesn't need to retaliate. It needs to build a new education system in addition to the previous one, and not to get into any struggle with any person. We want to add to what there is, simply another education about the relations between us, about the necessity for the connection between us, and how this connection we can begin to build and reach a situation where we are a people. A people according to our foundation, to be as one man with one heart in Arvut. That's it. It doesn't harm us, it doesn't harm anyone, it doesn't take anyone down. We don't need to change any systems in the country. We just want to add that. And it belongs to secular, religious, everyone. We need this umbrella of this general connection. And we need all kinds of laws and treaties. But there's no method talking about that here we need a new education. And that's what we claim. That is the single act that can bring us back to being a people according to our principles, the principles of Israel, and to truly save us and protect us. At the beginning of the way for the Jewish people, we had this great faith in the power of Spirit. Throughout all these years, everything we went through as a people, all the wars, the loss, pain, today we became very cynical. We were always tough. It's continued since then. I don't think otherwise. All the Zionism came up because of the depression on Jews. I'm not saying the Jewish nation, because we didn't have a nation. We were dispersed. People that lived in all kinds of countries in Eastern Europe began to feel a result from the assimilation, that even though they're assimilating, even though there's nothing left of them, it doesn't help. They're not capable in those countries to be like everyone, even though they really wanted to be French, German, Russian, Czechoslovakian, doesn't matter. They all want to be like the local person. They really wanted to merge in there. That there's nothing left of you. And when they saw that it doesn't help, just the opposite, anti-Semitism is growing, and pogroms in Russia, and Dreyfus, and all those things happening in Europe, they saw that there's no choice. They didn't want connection. They wanted simply to live like in Europe, but simply in a place where they would be accepted as equals. And then they began to think, Uganda, Madagascar, Israel, okay, Israel. Doesn't even matter where it is. They began to connect it to Israel because still there's some emotion. So there's a general agreement that it's a place, that it's our place. But at the end of the day, it was clear that they wanted to build a capitalistic country here with all the phenomena, and without any connection to mutuality, connection, without any connection to the root of this people. They didn't have it at all. So what can give us hope, new hope, as a society to awaken that same spirit, to reach, at the end of the day, a good life? Only if we go back to our roots and build the nation like we're supposed to, otherwise it's not a nation, and then the nation will deserve to be in the country. According to our inner education, we'll build a country according to those principles, and then surely we will be in matching nature. And that is the condition that nothing bad will happen to us, only good. Therefore, only education toward mutuality, connection, unity, that's what we need. How can we, in the half minute that we have left, summarize this phenomenon of the Jewish people as a revolting people? Where is it going from here? I think that we need to provide explanations and educate, through education, reach a state where we'll rise up to a revolt against our disregard, the rejection between us, our apathy, our hatred, the competitiveness. All this we can't have inside a family. We all have to reach a situation where we're like one family. Like Abraham founded the people. the nation. That's why we're a nation, and we have no choice. We have to rise up, yes. In the revolt, we have to make a revolt, each of us against our ego. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. We wish good luck with the revolt, each one of us with our ego. So long, good life.